Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We think about this wonderful passage. We celebrate the Christmas season, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to end with this verse on our hearts and minds on this last Sunday of the year. But let's pick up verse number 13 and 14. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, let's say it together, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Our Father, we pray that you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. I pray that you'll cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me be a blessing. Lord, you've been such a blessing to me. Help me to be a blessing to these thy people. Give them something through me, from you, that will help them right where they are today. If somebody doesn't know Jesus, somebody sitting in the building, somebody tuning in, someone watching this at a later date, might that one come to a saving knowledge of the truth today? In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We call this message, Good Tidings for All People. Can we all say that together? Say it with me. Good Tidings for All People. One more time. Good Tidings for All People. What a joy it is to know that in Christ we have good news for everybody. Amen. There's so much out there that's bad news. There's so much out there that's only good news for some people. But I'm thankful for the Christmas story. I'm thankful for Christ. I'm thankful for Jesus being the reason for the season. I don't know about you. I'm thankful I was born in a family that taught me what Christmas is all about. I'm glad that I know why I'm celebrating. I'm glad that I know it's not about the lights and the decorations and the gift giving. We participate in all of that, but that's not what it's all about. It's all about Jesus. Come on now. Aren't you glad that you know what Christmas is all about? The good news for all people. It is the arrival of Christ. The stated purpose. He came unto you, the specific place in the city of David. The salvation's plan. He's Christ the Lord, the promised Messiah, the anointed one, the precious master, the Lord, the controlling one, the supreme one. Aren't you glad that born in that manger was none other than Christ the Lord? Amen. Not just some man that would lead a religion. Not just some politician that would come bringing good news. Not just some philanthropist that would come bestowing charity. But the Messiah and the Master. The arrival of Christ last week, the atonement of the cross. This shall be a sign unto you, the instructed sign, the instinctive symbol, the important sequence. He said to the shepherds, you're going to know that this is somebody special because of the sign. What was the sign? The symbol, the swaddling clothes, those paschal lambs that were wrapped in swaddling clothes to be reserved and prepared for the Passover sacrifice. Wrapped in swaddling clothes that day was the one and only Passover lamb, the lamb without blemish and without spot. He was lying in that manger where the lambs were. He was lying in that manger as the Lamb of God, as John called him, which taketh away the sins of the world. And by the way, he didn't just die for white people or black people or rich people or poor people or smart people or ignorant people or American people or foreign people. Let me tell you something. He died for the sins of the world. Somebody help me preach this morning. There is a Savior who lights our way. There is a Savior who wants to seek and save that which was lost. Thank the Lord, the good tidings for all people, the arrival of Christ, the atonement of the cross. And then lastly, as we finish out our Sundays in 2020, good tidings for all people, the activation of celebration. The activation of celebration. Now watch this now. This is the good news for all people is because of the arrival of Christ. It's because of the atonement of the cross. But this good news for all people is because of the activation of celebration. Listen, what happened in Bethlehem, what happened in that manger, what happened some over 2,000 years ago, activates celebration more than any birthday party, more than any victory of a championship team, more than any birth of any other newborn baby. Let me tell you something. We are some celebrating people. Folks celebrate about everything. I see couples get together and they start dating and they say, this is our 1 month anniversary. Do you not know that annual means yearly? You can't have a month and annual in the same phrase, okay? Just say this is our 1 month celebration. We like to celebrate everything. And by the way, I tell these folks that are battling illness and difficulty, celebrate every step of progress. You may not be out in the hospital, but celebrate when you can get out of bed. Celebrate when you can raise your arm. Celebrate when you can breathe a little bit better. Celebrate when they turn the oxygen down a little bit. We love to celebrate, but I'm telling you what, this good news for all people activated a celebration without anybody telling them, without anybody inviting them, without any RSVPs. Look at what the scripture says. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now look at verse number 13 and notice the two words that begin the verse. Notice what it says. And suddenly, say it with me. And suddenly, all of a sudden, boom, shakalakalakalak. Watch this now. Without anybody saying anything, once that news had been given, once those shepherds heard it, once Jesus had been born, and suddenly, notice what it said, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. Write this down. There was a hastened participation. All of a sudden, remember now, the Bible said in verse number 10, the angel said unto them, look at verse number 9, the angel of the Lord came upon them. One angel, it said, verse number 9. One angel, verse number 10. The angel is speaking, verse number 11 and 12. But look at verse 13. After that good news was given, that was for all people, all of a sudden, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. This news is so good, in a hurry, the crowd has to come together and participate. It brings multitudes together. Listen to me. We don't come to church to see what outfits we're wearing. We don't come to church to see how many people been eating a lot during quarantine. We don't come to church to get out the house. We don't come to church to observe mass. We don't come to church just to take communion. We don't come to church just to say we were there. We don't come to church to live out our religion. We come to church because we are celebrating a Savior, and it causes a hastened participation. This is why two or three are gathered in His name. This is why we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves. This is why we have services. By the way, this is why we don't just meet with God in our houses. We can pray to God. We can talk to God. We can hear from God without coming to church. But it is the celebration of Jesus that brings the saints of God together. And I don't know about you. There's more than just energy. There is synergy. When we come together, each of us with the Holy Ghost living inside of us, we provoke one another to love and good works. We exhort one another and so much the more as we see the day approaching. We encourage one another. I don't know about you. One angel making the announcement to several shepherds. But once he said that announcement, all of a sudden, the multitude of the angelic host, they started getting together. If the angels got together celebrating Jesus, don't you think we ought to get together and celebrate Jesus? When we get with your family, celebrate Jesus. When you get with your friends, celebrate Jesus. When you're hastening your Facebook group together, celebrate Jesus. When you talk about everything else, celebrate Jesus. Isn't He worth getting together about? We get together for Tupperware. We get together for essential oils. We get together for Amway. We get together for Mary Kay. We get together to watch football. We get together to play games. We get together to play video games. Why don't we get together to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? The hastened proclamation. Notice the heartfelt praise. There was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. Guess what they were doing? Praising God. Come on now. This good news for all people makes us praise God. Hey, let me tell you something. There's a lot to complain about, but I'm telling you something. When you think about what happened in Bethlehem on that day, praise God. Come on now. Praise God that he came. Let me tell you something. Everything God has done for you through Jesus Christ is because of what Jesus did in Bethlehem. Listen to me. If he hadn't come, you wouldn't have your family. You wouldn't have your wife. You wouldn't have your kids. Listen to me. If he hadn't come, we wouldn't be here today. If he hadn't come, the salvation would not have come to my daddy's heart and to my mom and allowed us to have a Christian home. If we weren't here today, we couldn't have heard Anita and Nathaniel sing about his glory. And did he lift up her heart and sing about his life for mine? Bethany couldn't sing about the mercy of God if it weren't for Jesus. Let me tell you something. We got to get back to praising God. Somebody help me preach. We're doing so much. We're doing so much moaning and groaning. And I'm not belittling anybody's problem. I got my own. But folks, it's time to praise him. It's 2020. I know it's been a crazy year. I know there's a lot that's going on that we would change, but let's not let it steal God's praise. I love that song Laura used to sing. I never lost my praise. Have you lost your praise in the midst of this madness? Have you lost your praise in the midst of turmoil? Have you gotten so discouraged, so downtrodden, and so in despair? Somebody said, I need a new stimulus check. I hope they send us $2,000, not $600. Somebody said, I know I need a new good word from the doctor. I hope I don't get a positive testament. Somebody said, I need a good news from the job. I hope I get a raise. Somebody said, I need good news from the employment agency. I hope they extend our contract. Let me tell you something. You don't need a check in the mail or good news from a doctor or somebody else to tell you something good to praise the Lord. Just think back that he left the portals of glory. He didn't have to. He came willingly. He gave himself on the cross to die for the sins of mankind. No wonder the multitude of the heavenly host were celebrating, praising God. The hastened participation, the heartfelt praise, and then lastly, the heralded proclamation. The heralded proclamation. Saying what? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Somebody say glory to God. One more time. I'm going to say it like you mean it. Glory to God. This was the proclamation. Glory to God. What was the heralded proclamation? Write these two things down and I'm going to quit here in just a minute. The elevated glory. Glory to God where? Come on now. In the highest. Hallelujah is the highest prayer. Come on now. Glory to God in the highest. You know what they were saying? Up there where he is, glorify his name. Come on now. Up there with glory to God in the highest. Let me tell you something. We don't get so messed up by what's going on down here. Because in the highest, he is glorified. Glory to God in the highest. This is what the angels were saying. As high up as we can think. As high up as we can praise. Let me tell you something. I want my life to bring glory to God in the highest. But I'll tell you something. Nothing brought more glory to God than when Jesus was born in that manger. In 33 and a half years, he would walk up Golgotha's hill, hang and bleed and suffer for the sins of mankind. Glory to God in the highest. Can we get back to the fact that it's still all about his glory? May our lives glorify him. May we in our trials glorify him. Oh, it's about his glory. The elevated glory. And then the earthly goodness. He could have ended the verse and said, glory to God in the highest. That's what's going on up there. But he said, Jesus didn't just come to make it good up there. He came to make it good for us down here. Here's the earthly goodness. Extended peace and experienced pleasure. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Boy, this world needs some peace. We need peace. I kept thinking this morning as I was pondering the message. You know, the people of God seem to be hanging on every word right now. And the pressure on the man of God to give people something that will help them during this time. What do you say to Crystal? When you wake up in the middle of the night and find out that your brother's heart has stopped beating. She needs peace. Or the brother Terry, who's going to have to learn a new normal for the rest of the time. He's here on planet Earth. He needs peace. What do you say to Curtis Banks, who's waiting to find out if he's going to go up to New York to get treatment if his cancer is going to be gone? He needs peace. What do you say to Marcia, who spent Christmas in the hospital, or Rudine, who's battling pain? They need peace. What do you say to Pastor Mike, who's been battling these heart issues for a long time, and they bring about anxiety and fear at times? He needs peace. What do you say to Carl Jefferson, watching his mom suffer and the threat of his father being lonely without her? And as she can't remember who he is, but he knows, she knows the Lord. He needs peace. What do you say to Auntie Rose as she deals with Christmas differently for the first time in over 50 years? She needs peace. It won't come from alcohol or activism, from career or causes, from fame or fortune. You can't get it from innovation or ingenuity, from legislation or learning. It won't come from medicine or money, from narcotics or narcissism, from optimism or opportunities. You can't get it from psychology, philosophy, or psychiatry, from politics, or even from preachers. Technology can't give it to you. Telepathy won't give it to you. It certainly won't come from violence, and you can't even get it from a vaccination. Uniqueness won't create it, and unity won't produce it. Wishing it or worrying it, worrying about it, won't give it to you. But I am here to tell you, I wish as your pastor that I could have come to church this morning with a wrapped gift and given it to every one of those people I just mentioned. But the truth of the matter is, not just them, every single one of you today is looking for peace. Everybody's going through their set of trials. Every single adult that wants to get married, every young couple that is looking to lead a marriage. These couples that I've counseled during this pandemic, I talked to one yesterday just about ready to throw in the towel. I wish I could wrap up a gift and hand it to them. I wish that eBay sold it. I wish that Walmart had it on the racks. I wish that there were a bunch of scientists that were coming up with a peace vaccination. I wish I could wrap it up and give it to every one of you this morning. But I'm here to tell you that as your pastor, I could not wrap up a gift in wrapping paper and put a bow on it and put your name on it and bring it to you this morning. But wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger nearly 2,000 years ago, was more than just a little boy, a little baby, more than just Mary's son and Joseph's son. Wrapped up in swaddling clothes was the Prince of Peace. And he will give you peace, Carl, and give you peace, Terry, and give you peace, Marcia, and give you peace, Rudine, and give you peace, Auntie Rose, and give you peace, every single one of you. He will give you peace in your problems, peace about your finances, peace to find a spouse, peace that we're going to get through this virus. I've been so used to being the peace one in the family. I would think I'm the voice of calm in my home. I'm pretty level-headed, even keel. Not much shakes me up. I was thinking this morning when I was in the hospital, lying on that bed, nervous, you know, it's so lonely in there. I remember the best part of the day was when the lady who cleaned the room came in. She came in about 7, I forget what it was, in the morning. But she opened the door of the hospital room, and she left it open for 10 minutes while she cleaned. Those were the longest times that the hospital door was open for 10 days. So I got to look out in the hallway for 10 minutes, and it was like the opening to the real world. And I just loved it. I said, "Good morning. I've been waiting for you to get here just so you can leave that door open." So lonely. And I remember talking to my wife, and I hold this phone up. I didn't hold it. I take it in on my big water bottle to get in the hospital, and I put it on this because I couldn't hold it. And I prop it up like that. And she just, she'll tell you, she gets worried about a lot of stuff. She'll get anxious about it and get nervous. And I said, calm down, Connie, calm down. But for 10 days in that hospital, I'm supposed to be this peace one. I would, let me think about what I'm saying. FaceTime her, and her face would come up. And she'd just be smiling on there, her beautiful self. And I'd be shaking. And she told me later, she said, your pulse was coming out of your neck. And she said, I don't think I can do that. And I was hurting so bad. She said, yes, you can. You're doing fine. You look so handsome. I said, you lying. You know, God gave her something that I know she's had it before, but he gave her something special. And I needed it. I couldn't even read my Bible. I could not bring my head hurt so bad. I could not bring my mind to read the Word of God. One of my friends sent me, he sent me while I was in the hospital. I wrote this song. God forgive me. I don't know if I was in the flesh. I don't want to hear that doggone song you wrote right now. I wasn't thinking about no song he wrote. I wrote, God gave me this song. But he didn't tell me. I don't want to hit no button, hear no song you wrote. I wanted to get out of there or get out of here. But every time I looked at her, God came through her to me. It was peace. You can't buy that. And everybody in here, in your own set of trials, you may not have had corona, but you had something. You're going through something. And you may not have told everybody, but you all have a set of trials. I want to tell you, when Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes, he not only was wrapped in swaddling clothes, the baby was wrapped in swaddling clothes, but God was robed in flesh. That's the meaning of incarnation. Robed in flesh. He got wrapped in this junk for us, to bring us peace. And I want to talk to the youngest child here, all you singles here. You haven't faced what many have faced in life, but you're going through trials. And you're scared too about your future. I'm here to tell you, God has come to give us peace and goodwill. Goodwill toward me. He's a good God that wants to show us goodwill. His peace and his pleasure. I don't know what this is all going to turn out to be. I'm claiming 100% healing in God's time. But it might not happen. But whatever happens, I can make it because I got peace and pleasure. And you all keep pressing on. God's got a calling for your life. And God's got something for this church to do. Good news. Good tidings. For all people. It's not just going to be wonderful when we get to heaven. Oh, it will be. But Jesus came and brought such good news. We can enjoy his peace and his pleasure. Even down here on earth. Lord, I pray you help us. Keep doing the work in our hearts for your glory, for our good. We thank you for what you're doing, for how you're blessing, how you're moving. And I pray, God, that you'll continue to help us. Strengthen us, guide us, and direct us. Your heads are bowed and eyes closed. How many say I'm saved today and I know it? I'm saved and I know it. Yeah, I'm looking for my phone. I lost my mind. It's right here in front of me. I'm sorry. Put your hands down. If you're saved and you know it, how many of you would say, Pastor, I'm saved, but I need to do more celebrating. God's goodness, God's peace, God has helped me this morning. I'm not saying it's easy, but by God's grace, I'm going to choose to celebrate. Would you put your hand up all over the room? God bless you. You put your hands down. Then lastly, I wonder how many of you say, Pastor, I'm not as 100% sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. But I don't want to go to hell. Anybody like that? Pastor, I'm not 100% sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. But I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Anybody like that? Anybody? Why don't you pause and pray right where you are and trust it. God will help you. Brian, you think you'd be able to do that? You think you'd be able to? Good. Or in just a couple minutes after we close. Why don't you just ask God to help you celebrate? Help you celebrate. And by God's grace, enjoy His peace and His pleasure. Lord, touch your people. Touch your people. For those that are tuning in, they need peace. I pray you give it to them. Give it to all of us. I need peace. Thank you for your peace. It passeth all understanding. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.